Well, evening, folks. Good to see you. And I don't know if you've caught on. If this is your first time in a synergy type of thing, one of our core values is mockery. Honestly, it's like it's a big deal. It just keeps coming, and you think you're over it, and then here comes another. So, so good to be together, isn't it? And it does my heart good. I was just set a task at dinner time, jokingly. Do you know everybody in the room? And I'm going, I've got a good chance, about 85%. And that makes me very happy. I just love, like, looking out of these faces, mostly, and being able to just see you guys come together and see different worlds collide. So the fact that Nick and Di are here with Rich Robinson, and then you've got some Americans here from English Lake, and there's Anderson over there as well from, like, Zimbabwe, Sheffield, which is near Zimbabwe, apparently. I'm like, what the heck? It's just, I love it. That's what family does. And that's what we want to just emphasize. I'm just going to just share a little bit tonight on what synergy is about, what type of people we are, because I think we're probably here tonight mostly because we're here because we have a friend here. And probably not just one. We've probably got more than one. But we're here principally because of relationship rather than obligation. It wasn't the nature or the conference or the venue that drew you, or the fact that there was Simon, who is Nick Scott's favorite worship leader, leading, who was very good, by the way. Or because of certain speakers, although I think I would travel to hear Deborah Green and Anthony Delaney. Oh, and Rich. Yeah, obviously I would do all those things, but actually you came out of relationship, and you came, hopefully, because you didn't want to do church alone. You didn't want to do leadership alone, probably. You're here because we're a bit fed up trying to do it on our own, and probably because you came because somebody said, why don't you come? In the end, an invitation was given, and you felt like, I'd like to take that up. Relationship really matters. I'm here because Ben owes me money, and I knew he'd be here. I've got to catch up with him. But I'm also here because of historic relationships, new relationships with people like Darren and Lynette from Norwich, and, you know, and older relationships with people like my wife. No, like, we're getting on, aren't we? There's no denying it. Okay. And also, and Mark and Nestor and everything, not because they're getting on, it's just we've had been related for a long, well, like, close. So it's not going well. I don't think it's going well. I think we've got 2 minutes and then it's over, okay? We have a conviction that relationships lead to kingdom extension and kingdom expansion. In other words, relationships, one of our core values, and it matters because those relationships are not just one way. Relationships that matter end up being two ways, don't they? Everybody gets to participate. Everybody gets to contribute. I want to be in a family like that where there's an expectation everybody gets to take part. So I want to ask you, what experiences do you have? I want to ask you, what knowledge do you possess? What are you doing in your localities? What is there that, when it comes to reaching out, are you doing that the rest of us can learn? What is it that you're doing with those who need recovery in the UK or New Zealand or the USA or Norfolk, which is like a country all of its own, isn't it? Thanks, Darren. So there are things to learn from one another. So when we come together in this context, but guys, I want you to think that you're coming together to learn, not just from a kind of platform speaker type thing or a seminar type thing. You are going to learn great things, hopefully, from those places. But actually, there's enough wisdom and knowledge in the room that you can draw from at every opportunity you like, because everybody's got a story to tell. And we've got experiences that God is giving to us that we could all learn from. If you just got a Bible, could you just turn just for a moment to Romans, Dave Cave, would you believe, chapter 15 and verse 23. I'd say it. I couldn't believe you said that. But I should have guessed it. It says this in Romans chapter 15. Paul's writing to them, and he wants to go to Spain. But he wants to go via Rome. He's on a grand tour of Europe. And he says, but now that there's no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I've been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. I just pause there for a moment. Great apostle, pioneer, wanted to break ground, take the gospel to places that it's not been before, Spain. I want to come through Rome, and I want you to help me on my way. I'll go to Spain, untouched virgin territory, after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Well, surely the great apostle is like, I've got work to do. I've got purpose. I've got things to get on with. I've got unreached people to meet, and I've got churches to plant. And he says, yeah, but you know, it's nice in Rome. I wouldn't mind just hanging out with you. Let's get some gelato, kind of visit the ruins. You know, it's like, how does all that work? He loves and puts a high value in the mission on people. On relationship, he puts a high value on it. Now look, relationships are one of our core values. Mission is at the heart of what we want to be as we go forward. This is our first time conferencing together. It's the first time we've done this in Synergy. Lots of interaction over the years, lots of visiting of churches. No one's a stranger at one level. Lots of us know one another. That's great. But it's the first time we've done this together. It's a new day. Guaranteed Christian prophecy at a conference. It's a new day. It is a new day, actually, in this instance. It really is a new thing that's going on. And we're excited because we want it to be different than we've done it before. I don't know if you heard that. We want it to be a bit different than we've done it before. It's not that we're going to lose the relationship and enjoy each other's company. Hopefully, we'll get to do that very soon. But also that we do stuff together. Like what? Like just talk about things, you know, talk about what we'd like to do. Well, that's a start. Then there's actually doing stuff, like going to Spain to do work in churches and mission work in, you name a country. I can't name countries because they're mostly in the Middle East and you're not allowed. Bad thing to do. There's work to do in all kinds of places. And what I like the idea of is the idea that Paul says to the Romans, I'm coming to you so that you can help me go somewhere else. And you watch Paul's missionary journeys and you see people being kind of attached as he goes through places. Like people come with him and they go here and then they go there and they go and do other things. I met Rich Robinson in Sheffield in an industrial estate in a big warehouse. Before I knew it, it took a while because it's like, you know, long way. But we end up going to Australia to teach Anglicans and Baptists and Methodists and all kinds of Pentecostals about what it means to build a discipleship culture. I meet him, we get joined in heart. And before we know it, we're going to Australia to help somebody else we've never met. Through his relationships become my relationships. Mark's relationships, Chris Warwick's relationships, Tony Turner's and other people in my life, their relationships became my relationships. And together we formed new ones. And there's something about what we're supposed to do together which is on the move. It takes us beyond the remit of the local, although we value the local intensely. But it takes us beyond the remit of what we're all doing. I just want to say that actually one of our values, not only is it relationship and mission, but as part of mission, is to value experimentation. Creativity. Innovation. The idea that you, where you are, have seen something in God that others haven't, and that actually that God wants you to have the platform or the place or the relationships or the network to be able to take what you've learned and share it with others. To do something not just for your local context, which I understand missiology, you know, it's all about the contextualization of the message so that the message is still the same, but you have to contextualize it wherever you go. But actually, some of the creative solutions that you've found, some of the innovations that you've made are important not just for your local church. And I think that's where the local church has for so long suffered through being so parochial, so locked up inside itself that it has no relationships outside of its own existence. And the cost is to the people. The cost is to the church at large. The cost is to the body of Christ, because the body of Christ isn't able to benefit from the gifts of God that are placed in that local church, which weren't meant just for that local church. They were meant for the whole church. Now, what gifts do you carry? What contribution are you going to make? I don't know the answer to that, but I look forward to journeying with you. God is the sender, and we are sent by him. The starting point of our understanding of what it means to do mission is simply that it's the nature of the Godhead. It's the nature of the Trinity. God the Father sent the Son. And God the Father and the Son send the Spirit. And God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit send the church. So right in our DNA is this idea that we will be moving, going, doing. We're not static. It's not just about being together. It's about being together so we can go somewhere else and do something else in the name of the Lord. And that, I think, is what I want to mention in conclusion. Ish. Some of us, I've shared this before, but there's a Vineyard report by a guy who went right round the world, actually. I think he spent 2 years, maybe 2.5 years, traveling around the world and examining movements that were happening in different parts of the globe. And he reflected back 10 points to the Vineyard International team on what those things were. And he reflected on the growth of the Vineyard movement in light of some of those things. And he came up with, you know, some of the things that he noticed that were true of Vineyard when it first began. And he talked about 10 things. He talked about ministry flowing from a kingdom perspective. He talked about putting Jesus back in the middle. He talked about doing what the Father's doing, or compassionate ministry being prioritized. All these were true of movements that were flourishing around the globe. He talked about prayer with power as foundational, about everybody getting to join in, that ministry was not just for the few, but for the many, for everyone. Simple, reproducible groups, a show and tell model of training. Here's what you do, you have a go. Number 9 was that the key leader in a particular movement were keeping the missional vision alive. It was necessary for the key leaders to keep the mission alive. Why? Because when things start going successfully well, you know, well, when you get success and things go very well, it's easy to say, oh, this is nice. Let's just settle here. And he said, the thing that we've lost most in the Vineyard, he says, we've lost that sense of adventure with God and partnership with others. And I want to just focus on this for a moment. If you look back, some of us can remember, when the Vineyard was just beginning to get going and they started to, you know, come to public attention with John Wimber, and you would identify Vineyard by what would you remember? If you said that movement, when it first started, was known for what? Worship? Holy Spirit? Healing? Power evangelism? I would have said probably that it was worship for me. I'd have said probably because the tapes were everywhere and we were singing all their songs. It was Bethel of its day in that sense. And he said, the glue that used to stick us together, and I expected him to say, I had this meeting with him in Nottingham just set across the, and he said, the glue that stuck us together, and I said, what, was it worship? He said, no, it was adventure. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, it's adventure. He said, when we first started, we were on a journey and we didn't know what the end destination was. And at the beginning of it, we weren't quite clear on whether it was going to work or not. And we weren't quite sure whether we had a chance because we all knew each other and we knew what we were really like. But somehow, we believed God and God started to move. You got this picture from this guy of extremely ordinary men and women who believed the stuff that we read each day, and you know, it's in the same Bible, and they believed the same stuff, and then they started to do it. They went from believing it and believing that it could happen in some other country around the world to it could happen where they are. I think that might be the invitation for us from here. Us? Do you know us? Well, I know 80% of you. By name. We don't think we could do it. What, people like us? Well, we're a bit, people like you, Alec. You're a bit flawed. No. I'm a lot flawed. Can you point anywhere and see anyone who's perfect? Can you point anywhere and just say, oh, yeah. God won't ever use us. I just want to say at the beginning of our weekend that we need to raise our sights again and believe that God is not only not finished with us, it might be for many of us, he's only just starting. And the synergy word, it's a kind of one chases 1,000 and two chase 10,000. We don't know what a weekend like this will bring because we don't know where the joinings of the Lord will take us. We don't know what that looks like. We don't know what God might say to two of you as you're having dinner together. You might agree to meet somewhere else and chat and then you get a heart for like Bradford. It's on a map. I've seen it. I've never been there, but I know it exists. Like there are places like that, that it just, who knows what it might be. Yeah. I'm beginning to develop a really big heart for Florida. Yeah. Anyone else? It's an adventure, let's go. Actually, a couple of days ago, your heart does get touched. You say, oh God, something's got to happen in that country. It's just, arming, the kids are armed with assault rifles. So look, what you come to, you've come to a place that values mockery, relationships, mission, and the idea that something new is on the horizon and that adventure is still on the table. Amen? Amen. Why don't you just stand? Please clap if you feel like. Don't hold it in. It'll hurt you in the end. I was just laughing at Jan, I'm sorry. Well, look, let's just pray and let's ask God to just begin to open our hearts up to what we're doing here. It's Friday night. You've come a long way. Many have come a long, long way. And some of you are already sold on this. Some of you are here for the first time, you don't know hardly anybody. Well, look, you are welcome. You are at home. You have come with gifts to contribute. We just don't know what they are yet. We just don't know who you are yet. And you don't know some of us yet. But who knows what God might do with us together?